Thank you, Nicole. That was beautiful. Thank you, worship team. Wonderful job leading us in worship today. Thank you for using your gifts to lead us in worship. It is so good to see you. I'm glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. As we look at the early church, ordinary people who lived extraordinary lives because they were changed by the grace of God. They were transformed. Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and we open it today and ask that you would speak to us. And we are amazed at the generosity of the early church, ordinary people who are transformed by your grace to be givers. And beyond that, they were generous. So, Father, I thank you for the early church and the example of those who were changed. And I pray that we would continue as the church to carry out faithfulness, love, and generosity, marks of Christ's followers. You are a giving God, and we follow and trust in you. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Christmas tree is put away, or trees, all the wreaths are gone, lights packed up. Maybe it's the same in your house. All the Christmas decorations put away, attic or wherever you might keep those. Speaking of new, might be time to get a new microphone. But that time from Thanksgiving to the New Year is my favorite time of the year. All the extra candies and desserts and gatherings and special foods, family gatherings, the anticipation of Christmas, and the reaction of those who receive gifts that perhaps you have worked hard to provide. But with the busyness, it seems to be the fastest time of the year. That time from Thanksgiving to the New Year is a blur. It just goes so fast. When the decorations go up, it's so much fun. Well, most of the time, it's fun to put up the decorations. And as Becky put it, it was fun to put them up, but it's sad when you have to put them away. But we put them away, and we begin a new year. But there's one grand present, gift, lesson that we receive at Christmas. And that's the lesson on giving. And hopefully you've captured the joy of giving at Christmas. But as we look at the early church in Acts 4, they more than gave, they sacrificed, they gave of themselves. They gave that which they had for themselves and they gave it up for others. This is generosity. Giving can be, someone can give, but they can give begrudgingly. Generosity springs from a heart of love. And that's what took place in the early church. They were transformed by God's grace. And I believe 33 is the key verse when they said, "With great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." That this radical generosity that we learn from the early church came about by the grace of God that they embraced, that they experienced, that they immersed themselves in. And we can't possibly understand this kind of generosity until we understand God's great grace. There was a wealthy man in a church who was obviously very wealthy. He had great wealth and it was displayed in his possessions. And this particular church was going through a financial campaign, raising funds for a specific project. And so the team that was working this project went to visit with the man. And there, in view of his great wealth, said, "We know you would want to participate in this and give to this great campaign." And he looked at them and said, "Well, in your investigations, did you find out that my mother is a widow and she's dependent upon me for her survival?" "No, we didn't realize that." "And did you know that my sister's drunken husband left her and the five kids and no way to provide for themselves?" "No, we didn't know that." "And did you know that my brother was in an accident and he and his wife and family, he's not able to provide for them?" And they were somewhat embarrassed. "No, we didn't realize all this." And then he triumphantly proclaimed, "Well, I've never given them a cent, and why do you expect me to give you anything?" Obviously, a man who had not experienced God's grace. A man who didn't understand a generous God who loves to provide and loves to pour gifts on His people and loves for when His people give and when they give away and when they are generous, because God loves to pour it right back in so that more generosity can flow. Now, in order to understand what it means to be a generous giver, a mark of a Christ follower, one must first know His grace. Now, I want to turn to Acts chapter 20. We started in Acts 4, but I want to spend some time in Acts chapter 20. So just flip over a few pages to Acts chapter 20. And here we find the Apostle Paul, who has been transformed by the grace of God, expressing his love for the church at Ephesus. He's writing to the elders of the Ephesian church, where he had spent time there, help establish the church. But as we find in verse 25, "Behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." And he's writing with somewhat sadness that we will never see each other again on this earth. Verse 32. "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Here is the secret: grace. "I commend you to the word of grace," God's grace. Now, what is grace? What is the Sunday school definition of grace? G-R-A-C-E. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches, which includes eternal life, a place in heaven, where streets are of gold and walls of jasper, where God loves to lavish His riches and blessings upon His people. But it comes at a great expense. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, when Jesus talks about treasure in Matthew 6 and Luke 12, He says, where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so when we look at the world around us, especially our culture, our nation, the people in our society, we spend billions upon billions of dollars on our appearance in the fashion industry and on makeup. And there are so many that they find their significance in their appearance. That in a way it's become their pseudo-savior, their God. This is where my treasure goes, because this is where my heart is. This is where I find my significance. This is where I find my value. And not in our Creator. And in a sense, when we place our security and our strength and our value and something other than our Creator, then we are placing other gods, a pseudo-savior, before the Almighty God. Or you can look at your checkbook and see, where is my treasure? My treasure is in my hobby. That's where I find my relief. That's where I find my strength. That's where I find my value and my significance, is in my hobby. Or it's in my work. That's where I invest my time, and my work is where I find my security and my value. That's our treasure. But look at what Jesus had. He had it all. He had everything. He had all the glories of heaven. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there in the beginning. All things were made through Him. He has the whole world. He had it all. He had the whole world in His hands. He made it. It belonged to Him. He had all the glories of heaven and all that is in heaven. He gave up. That's what generosity is, giving up all that He had for someone else. The early church, we found that they didn't claim anything as their own. This isn't mine. I belong to the Father. I belong to the Son. It's all His. I'm just a steward. And it was through that grace that they gave it away. And here Jesus, He had heaven. He had glory. He had all power and authority. He had the Father. And yes, He even gave up the Father. He gave up the glory. He gave up heaven. He gave up the Father when He was on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin. And that moment on the cross, in some supernatural way, He became the sin of you and me. He separated Himself from God the Father. By our sin, He became separated from God. And maybe that's why He cried out, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why have you separated yourself from me? It's because He was sin. He had it all. Except. He had everything except you. And you were His treasure. And He gave up everything to pursue you. Because that's where His heart was. With you. That's generosity. That's grace. And when we comprehend and understand the grace and the generosity of our Savior, we can't help but help the weak. Look down there in verse 34. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all these things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. Not we should, we ought to, but we must. You see, being changed by and surrounded by and consumed by the grace of God, we can't help but be a generous people in response. We can't help but do what Jesus did and help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." If you have a red letter edition Bible, which means the words of Jesus are in red, when you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a whole lot of red if you have a red letter edition. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament that we call the Gospels, reveal to us the life of Jesus. And there are a lot of words that Jesus spoke, and a lot of them are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So there's a lot of red, and right here in Acts chapter 20, you might have red right there where it says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The words of the Lord Jesus Himself. But did you know you won't find that phrase in the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John didn't quote Jesus of this phrase, but Paul did. That it is more blessed to give than to receive. He ties being under the grace of God and giving as being hand in hand. Understanding God's grace, understanding what He's done for you, it motivates us to be givers. And God designed His old covenant to teach His people to be givers. And He designed His new covenant to free His people to be givers. Not just givers, but generous givers. There were four Bible college students that were described in an article in Leadership Magazine. These four students they rented a house together. And one Saturday morning, there was a knock on their door. And there was a disheveled old man with glassy eyes and tattered clothes and two left shoes that didn't match on his feet, with a tattered basket filled with vegetables that didn't look very appealing. But those four students bought some of the vegetables to help the man. And the next Saturday, the old man came to their house with a basket of vegetables. And then the Saturday after that, and the next one. And they began to learn more and more about this man who lived in a shack down the road. And they began to learn that he was a man who loved God. And he played the harmonica. They invited him into their home and they would spend time with him. And he loved the hymns and he would play on the harmonica and they would sing along with him. And they discovered that he had this great love for the Almighty God. And one day as they were singing together, he stopped and he said, "God is good." And they said, "Yes, He is." And he said, "Let me tell you why He was good. Why He is good. Yesterday, I woke up and on my porch, I found boxes with gloves and a coat and clothes and shoes." And the boys kind of looked at each other with a grin and said, "Yes, God is good." Then he started playing again. Then he stopped and he said, "Did I tell you God is good?" And the boy said, "Yes, you did tell us God is good because He provided you with these things." And he said, "No. God is good. And yes, He provided these things, but not for me. I found a family that needed them. And I was able to take them to the family that needed these gifts." And the boys were amazed that this man who had little, very little, he wasn't glassy-eyed because of alcohol, as they first suspected, it was cataracts. But they were impressed by the generosity of this man who had nothing. And when he received something, he gave it away. And it changed those boys. The Whittier Area Community Church in Southern California had been given, they were given this vision of providing a hospital for orphanages for orphans in Malawi, a small, densely populated country in South Central Africa. It had been presented to them, the leadership had this vision that wouldn't it be great if we could, as a church, provide this hospital for orphans in Malawi? And the leadership began to pray about it. And there came a point where they were discouraged because they had decided, we want to take a special Christmas offering to provide a hospital for orphans in Malawi in Africa. But the largest Christmas offering we have ever collected in our 35-year history has been $25,000. And the cost for us to provide a hospital to orphans in Malawi and Africa is $160,000. And there was a moment where they had a little bit of doubt, but they said, no, God will provide. If God is leading us to this, then we know, we believe He'll provide. And they began to share the vision with the congregation. And the congregation began to embrace this vision. And knew it was going to take sacrificial generosity, sacrificial giving. And there was one couple who had money set aside for fertility treatments. And they decided, let's give these for the children in Africa instead. There was another woman who gave up physical therapy for a month and provided those resources for children in Africa. The children began to embrace this vision, and several of them set up lemonade stands for Malawi. And this generous church, as it became, began to embrace this vision, began to spread to Christian friends and other churches who wanted to be a part. And they began to get involved. And even non-Christians, those who didn't know and experience the grace of Christ, wanted to be a part of this providing of this hospital for orphans in Africa. And the preacher, Bill Anchorage, he proclaimed that giving has become our new evangelism. That this generosity has been overflowing and drawing people in and drawing them to Christ. And so the day came for the special offering. And they didn't collect $25,000. They didn't collect $160,000. They collected more than $500,000 to give away for orphans in Malawi. And the generosity of that church modeled the generosity of the early church. And it became contagious. And it drew people to the Savior. Heavenly Father, by our nature, we are selfish people, and You know that. We selfishly give in to our desires and our wants. We hold on to our stuff. We hold on to our money. And we take care of us first. You are a generous God who gave us Jesus, who gave up everything for us. That's generosity, sacrificing what belongs to you, giving it up for someone else. Father, may we experience your grace in a way that we can't help but be like the early church and give and share and love and meet needs. Forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for claiming our possessions as ours, mine, and not acknowledging that it all belongs to you. How you love to pour blessings upon givers. How you love to fill up what we give away and to keep filling it up and to keep pouring in more because we can't possibly outgive you. May we capture that spirit of generosity. May we capture that level of grace. Transform us into more of your image by helping us become generous givers. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As a church, this is where we want to focus. We want to continue to meet needs. We want to continue to love the orphans, the girls in Haiti. Many of you bought items at the Haiti tree to go support the work that's taking place in Haiti. We've got diapers and wipes out there. We have one more Sunday we're collecting to send to the Pregnancy Resource Center. Yesterday, some of our people were out in 8-degree wind chill feeding homeless. This is what we are to be about. And maybe for you today, it's time for you to let go of all you have and say, God, I'm surrendering it all to you. I'm ready to be buried in that watery grave that we read about in Romans 6. Buried with Christ, raised into new life, surrendering everything to the Savior. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.